it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Jamming the music today.
I know, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I realize I'm like, whoa, he is like having to shout
like
right
I,
now.
I couldn't
I'm like,
hear myself talking. It's like,
it's a good song. What can I say?
Yeah, no, you're a DJ. So every Tuesday at 4 p.m., we get a couple of our pals together and we do the think tank, usually people from across the aisle. A couple things. First of all, it struck me as I was taking my walk and I saw Kurt Barr, who's the head of elections in St. Charles County, and Michael Butler, who's recorder of deeds in the city, walking by. I'm like, hey, boys, what's up? And it just struck me, and I mean this sincerely, how did I get here? Like, this kid from South Roxana, and I know the recorder of deeds. I could text him if I wanted to. I know the head of elections for St. Charles County. I know Steve Ellman. That's nuts. You ever think like that? Like, you guys have been representatives, and you ever just go, how did this happen?
We never think like that because we don't think we're that important.
I grew up listening to KMOX. I'm still going, how am I here behind the microphone?
That's cool.
I mean, yeah. So
with Dave Glover.
Yeah, that's exactly. Cool. Yeah, it's kind of.
And then I didn't know you two were buddies from the past.
Yeah. Well, but we served together in legislature for a number of years, and Michael's a good guy.
Yeah, so. Man. We served on the education committees mm-hmm. together and a couple committees together. Yeah. So, yeah, of course. Kurt's a great guy, too.
Was that before the breakup? For lack of a better term, between the Democrats and the Republicans?
I think so, yeah. I mean, we got along just fine.
I would say there definitely was still a breakup, but it's even worse now. It's a divorce. We'll call it a divorce now.
I think Clean Missouri and that lobbyist gift ban is what really created this divide, because we would see each other in social settings at different events sponsored by different groups that came to Jeff City. But once the lobbyist gift ban started, all of those things stopped. And so in Jeff City, Republicans and Democrats don't see each other in a social setting.
So is that a net bad thing?
I think so. I think because what's happened is the uber conservatives only hang out with each other. The uber progressives only hang out with each other. The moderates only hang out. So that people have become more cloistered in Jeff City. And I remember I had multiple good conversations where I talked to somebody across the aisle at an event. You know, maybe it was the Farm Bureau's event. We're both there to meet our constituents at that event. And like, hey, you said something on the floor. Like, I didn't quite get what you were saying. And like, hey, what I was talking about was this. I'm like, okay, I get your point. And you could talk in a more civil manner and understand each other as people. I think that's where, you know, Michael and I got to know each other a little bit better than just like, you know, a Republican Democrat talking on the floor. It was two guys being able to, you know, chat with each other as they are at an event to meet with constituents.
Yeah.
How far apart when you guys were in the legislature did you feel? Like, I'm so fascinated by this, like how Michael Butler grows up to be a Democrat and you grow up to be a Republican. And when I was a kid, I remembered hearing tax and spend, Democrats just want to tax and spend, and Republicans are, you know, this and that. Do you feel like we have the same conceptual divide these days, or is it different than it was when we were growing up? Is it more personal?
I definitely felt pretty far apart from a lot of conservatives in Jefferson City, but things were much more classy back then. When I was an intern, I remember learning everything I knew about Jefferson City. I started as an intern and I saw my first vote, and it was a voice vote, and all the Democrats stood up and shouted and all the Republicans stood up and shouted. And the Democrats lost. And then the minute later was another vote. All the Democrats stood up and shouted. All the Republicans stood up and shouted louder. And the Democrats lost again. And then they did it probably another 20 times in an hour. And then those were 20 different issues that they were in disagreement on. So there was definitely a lot of disagreement. But I will say in me and Kurt's time, there was some agreement on some pretty big issues, especially in education. Like, were some pretty big agreements.
I would say education. Yeah. That was weird, where rural Republicans were one block and suburban St. Charles County Republicans and Democrats, we generally kind of agreed on more educational opportunities for families. And the rural Republicans are more like, okay, the school districts are like this and nothing shall affect public education from the status quo. And that was one thing that really shocked me, was how visceral some of my colleagues, some of my friends were on certain issues, where I could work with Michael on like school choice issues far better than I could with a fellow Republican.
Wow.
Yeah, I was actually on the other side of that. We were I was working with the rural Republicans.
Oh, were you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. No worries. But yeah, I think but to that same point, me and Kurt never really, and then on budget committee, there were a lot of things we always agreed on. There were things that we were different on, but there were more things we agreed on and different. And there was a different amount of class around those issues. Like, people could disagree without being disagreeable. And I don't see that as much nowadays.
I know I'm being very conceptual today, but you guys are almost like professors who have studied this, you know, on the ground. When you think about differences in politics, does anything jump out like, well, he grew up in the inner city. Well, he comes from a Baptist minister father. Well, this. Like, what drives people to become conservative? What drives people to become more progressive? Have you identified anything, any commonalities, or is it just the person?
So there's actually a study that was done, and I can't remember exactly who did the study, but it looked at general personalities that people have and the types of values that you have based on those personalities. And it looked at, like, how does that lend itself to political values? And it showed that progressives and conservatives, we have different things that we value more strongly. And those values influence our politics and how we land politically on a number of different things.
Do you think if you were not religious, like me, you would have basically the same beliefs?
I think that my religious background affects and influences my beliefs, and I don't know if I would be exactly the same today. I don't think I would be. I think I'd be similar. I think I'd still be a Republican, but I might be a more progressive Republican if I wasn't religious.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. That's really interesting. Mm-hmm. Kev, thoughts?
No, it makes sense. I mean, your politics are going to be the root of where you grew up, who you grew up with, what you grew up around, what era you grew up in that area. I mean, like, it's because you'll see a really liberal kid from a conservative family, or the opposite. You'll see a kid that becomes a little more conservative. So why is that? Well, maybe it's who they went to school with and who their best friends are, who they end up marrying and dating when, if they're young enough for that to still be influenced. Where you go to school, you know, you go to certain places that's a little more liberal, certain places maybe a little more conservative. What job you get, you know, like there's all of it changes. And I would be surprised if people don't vacillate a little bit as you get older. Like, starting young, you go, you'll be like, your values change a little bit based on where you are. You know, do I have kids or do I not have kids? Do I make a lot of money or do I not make a lot of money? All those things certainly influence where you go.
I changed. Mm-hmm. I changed a lot in my grown-up life because I was too something. I want to say stupid, but that's too easy. But I just wasn't political, you know, growing up.
It wasn't an era like that, though.
No, it really wasn't. And no one talked about it. You know, and then when I was 36, I started this job and I considered myself a dyed-in-the-wool Democrat. My mom and dad were Democrats, union Democrats. My first memories are being in the back of a car with an old lady that they were driving to the poll. So pretty political family. And then doing the show during the Gore Bush hanging Chad part. I was like, these Democrats are kind of whiny bitches. And I became pretty conservative. And then a few years ago, I'm like, these conservatives are mean as snakes and racist and really judgmental. So I became much more moderate. So maybe my journey has been different than most people. I've been pretty pliable and malleable.
Yeah, but the parties have changed. Think about how much different the parties are. Go back. When was it? It was probably before Reagan. Religion wasn't a big deal on the conservative side. It was all about finances. It was all about taxes. It was all about that. And it didn't become about religion until a certain period when influential people said this is a way for us to get more people to come out to vote like us.
It was mm-hmm. the 1970s.
It was the 70s, right?
It was to get Reagan into the presidency.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, like, that's pretty recent.
Mm-hmm.
That's in that time frame you're talking about.
That's true.
And you go back to the 90s and listen to some of the things Bill Clinton said. They sound like Republicans now
mm-hmm.
about immigration, about gay marriage, about if the parties can change as radically as they have, why can't individuals? It just seems rational that that's going to be the case.
That's a good point.
I mean, Reagan has that great quote, you know, when he was asked, you know, do you feel like you're part of the problem? And he said, when I was a Democrat, you know, saying that, you know, he looked, because, you know, he said that, you know, the party had left him. He didn't leave the party. And so it's like, you know, even back then, you know, the party was migrating. And like, I was actually just having a conversation with somebody talking about how, like, the party, you know, the Democrat Party has the emblem of the donkey because of Andrew Jackson and that and how, you know, how the party had changed back in those times. And, you know, we're just talking about how, you know, the core tenets of parties has changed over time and who's part of that party demographically has changed over time. And it's fascinating. I do think that who you are associated with, who your friends are, who your family are, greatly affects your party. It's why we see, you know, the city being so blue and St. Charles County being so red is because, you know, you grew up in these areas and everybody else is that party. And so you tend to, you know, become like the people that you're near.
Yeah.
Well, you have similar jobs to them. You have similar circumstances, right? The people that live around you are, at least from like a place in life, financially, professionally, you're going to be similar.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So you have this, like, if you're in a big union town, I grew up in Detroit. All automakers. Right. Everybody's a union guy. There are a lot of people there that if you had asked them like some core beliefs, they would have been more conservative.
Mm-hmm.
But they voted Democrat because the Democrats were backing the unions.
Mm-hmm.
And now that's all splintered and fallen into mm-hmm. not good or bad. I'm just saying it has. It's completely changed.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Rach, why don't you jump in on this?
I mean, what would you...
Just your take. Just politically and changing and back and forth and stuff. Mm-hmm.
I always bring up the internet. I think that's a huge reason we see these changes in the parties and, you know, people are able to communicate on a level they weren't 20 years ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So certain ideas, like we're able to mobilize now. In the 90s, it wasn't that type of thing. Like-minded people are finding each other, even outside, you know, Kevin just referenced, you know, people growing up in the same place do tend to have similar types of ideas. Well, let's say you have a different idea than everyone you grew up with. You now have a way of connecting
that's a good point.
With those other
folks. You know, another good point, too, that you just made me think of is most of my life, political parties marketed themselves with pork pie hats and, you know, like just douche stuff. And now you have major companies with billions of dollars and glitzy everything. Like it's a different game.
Yeah. It is. I'd say political parties are mostly just brands now. They're not in having run the state Dem party for 2 years. Like we didn't have a whole lot of daily volunteers or monthly volunteers, didn't have a whole lot more money than anybody else, didn't have a whole lot of active membership bases across the state. We're mostly just a brand. And I've said for a while that I think there's a space for a third party really within the next, I've always said within our lifetime, me and Kurt, lifetime, but definitely within the next 10 years, because most of the parties, the Republican Party is similar. They're just mostly brands. It isn't a group of people. A lot of what runs politics and why people change their mind in Jefferson City is based on organizations. The organizations that have those volunteers, that have those the money that they can give and have those memberships like unions that influence folks much more than the party does.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think one of the worst things in politics, because I think the vast majority of people would love a third party, but you guys won't let us. The Hancock and Kelly won't let us. And I get it. Like if you're, you know, the NFL or, you know, you're not going to let, hey, come on in, take some of our people and some of our money. So always interesting. That's Kurt Barr and Michael Butler. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks. You.
These are my favorite.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. I let that one play because it's a jam. Couple headlines left?
Yeah. Okay. According to a new study, intermittent fasting may raise your heart disease death risk by 135%.
Good, I'm out. No skipping lunch.
It's always something, man.
It's always something.
The stuff's always going back and forth.
Half the time we're hearing like, this is the optimal way to function as a human. And then it's like, no, actually, you will die immediately. So everyone keep this in mind.
It's never in between either. It's never like, yeah, it might raise the chance of you having some wrist pain. And you go, eh, you know, my wrist sometimes hurts anyway. It's fine.
It's never like, have six corn dogs. It's have none or have 15.
Right.
But yeah, it's always like, you will actually die of a heart attack guaranteed if you intermittent fast.
On the spot.
Even once. Yeah. And it's like, oh, well, thanks for telling me now.
Okay, here's the real news of the day. I can't believe this hasn't come up yet. A new cookie is joining the Girl Scouts cookie lineup in 2026.
I'm waiting.
They're called Explore Mores. This is a Rocky Road ice cream inspired sandwich cookie that is filled with chocolate, marshmallow, and toasted almond flavored cream.
Okay, I wanted to hate it. My favorite ice cream of all time, which I can never find, and no one even seems to know what it is Rocky Road.
What?
Yeah,
you can never find the Rocky store? Road?
No.
It's there.
Okay, I've never looked, but I'm just saying that it doesn't jump out in me.
Okay, I actually thought I made it up on the spot. Now I see it's a real thing.
It has marshmallow in it, right?
Yeah.
Hmm?
Yeah, marshmallow, yummy. Walnuts, like some kind of chocolate covered something or other.
I'm looking at the Schnucks brand Rocky Road ice cream right here, Dave, on sale for $3.49.
I know I'm going after the show.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.